We have a rematch in the college football playoff semifinal as Oregon takes on Indiana once again. And welcome to the best breakdown and preview of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. That's right. They still have names on them. Just like the Miami Ole Miss one is the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. But we call it the college football playoff semifinal here as Oregon once again takes on Indiana. David Cone, speaking of the Big Ten, former Michigan quarterback there. Blaine Crane, former Western State Colorado wide receiver. Before we get into this, because I always forget, Blaine, give me the spread. Give me the total.
All right, right now the spread is -4.5 Indiana. Money line for Oregon going off at +160. That's a dirty +160. And the total sitting at 47.5.
Dave, I mean, look, the obvious thing to immediately go to is, well, Indiana went on the road and beat Oregon. What was it, 20-10 and
30-20.
Or 30-20, sorry, and really handled them and dominated the game. So again, you're not even going on the road. This is a neutral site game. Indiana's playing amazing. Oregon defensively looked really, really good against Texas Tech. Tell me why I wouldn't pick Indiana right here.
Everyone in the country is going to pick Indiana, not only for what you just mentioned, but also because anyone else who's not even diving into the schematics wants like this underdog story, right? So that Oregon should just go ahead and embrace that. And I do think that's really a funny part of this. You have a 13-1 Oregon team. Were they 26-2 the past two seasons? Dan Lanning absolutely rolling. They look good on both sides of the football. And somehow you're playing Indiana in a semifinal to go to the national championship, and you're the underdog, and no one in the country is going to pick you. If I'm Oregon right now, I just want to embrace that. Getting into a little bit of the specifics and the tactics here, it's been the pressure that Indiana's been able to get on opposing quarterbacks that really has just shocked me. And they had six sacks maybe in the first game when they played Oregon on the road. Another three sacks without Stephen Daly this past week against Alabama, winning that game 38-3. That's been the part that really has fascinated me. Oregon's got to figure out a way to give Dante more time to throw the football. And I think that goes, that starts with both their tight ends. You know, we talk a lot about Kenyon Sadiq at tight end, but Jamari Johnson is another guy. Like Oregon's ability to line up in 12 personnel and not only use those guys in the run game, but in the pass game. I mean, Jamari Johnson has some of the best football catches in the postseason so far throughout these college football playoffs. To use them in the run game to give Dante more time, but then to use them also in the pass game off of play action, I think that is a recipe for Oregon to have some success here.
And Blaine, you know, and Indiana deserves just an unbelievable amount of credit. Go back and watch. If you haven't watched our instant reaction to the Indiana-Alabama game, if there's any question about how we feel about Indiana, that can be answered very quickly in that video. We know this team self-motivates. I don't think Cignetti has to go into the locker room and give them some Al Pacino any given Sunday speech for them to go out and play well and play smart. This is just who they are. I still feel like they view themselves as underrated and overlooked. But if there's anybody that can go into a locker room and get an 18-23-year-old male to play out of his mind and play his ass off, it is Dan the Man Lanning. And can he tap into it enough in this one for Oregon to be able to play obviously really hard, which they will, but also not play over-aggressive, right? You can be too amped up, right? You can be too emotional when you're going out there, and it can cost you in this game. That's why, you know, it's like me on a Friday night, you got to get the mix right. You know what I'm saying? Like, or me out in the golf course, you got to get the mix right. It's typically in between 3 to 5 beers. But I mean, just what's your view here? How are you feeling?
Well, I mean, I will say this, the best teams are teams that can hit the gas pedal, go 100 miles per hour, but still make a left turn when they need to. And I do think if you need coaches, if you're players in this game, whether you're Oregon or Indiana, if you need coaches to come into a locker room and hype you up for this game, you already lost.
That's a good point.
You already lost, because if you're not just a red-blooded male, you're about to play in the semis of the college football playoff in front of God and everybody in the universe. Who knows what planets are watching when it comes to this game? I wonder what package there is for out there. Then you're in the wrong sport. I really do. The big key to me when I look at this game, can Oregon somehow defensively – mess up the machine for Indiana?
Yeah, that's
right?
What I was.
Can they get Indiana off schedule? Can they get Indiana off tactics? Can they get Indiana into an area they're not used to. And I think that's the way doing that is making a team one-dimensional on offense. You go back and look at every stat, really, in the first appearance, Indiana won. Passing yard standpoint, they won. Running yard standpoint, they won. And average running yards per rush, they won. Penalties they lost, they had 8 penalties for 45 yards. Oregon had 2. Oregon had 2 turnovers, and Dante Moore threw 2 interceptions in this game. So, one, when it comes to Oregon defensively, as the team I picked to win the national championship, you're going to have to try to throw off this on-time, on-schedule offense. And on the other side, you're going to have to find a resemblance of a run game. They stuffed you the first time you ran it. Yeah. I mean, you had 80 yards. You averaged 3 yards a carry. That's not good enough to Indiana's 111. And Dante Moore has to look like the best quarterback left in college football for them to win this game. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to out-duel Fernando Mendoza.
Well, you're playing the best.
Not only from a passing standpoint, but from a big play on run on third down, right? Your wheels creating things in the pocket of just not getting sacked. I will say this. One thing I was disappointed in Dante Moore, I didn't think he evaded the pressure well against Texas Tech.
Am I the only one that he always reverses out the same way?
He never steps up. He never steps
up. It's always behind and out and floating. It's never up.
You're never going to do
that. Okay, I'm glad somebody else saw that.
In Indiana against these games, because they're not going to rush past you. They're not just going to take themselves out of the play. They're going to be very methodical the way they pass rush you. They know where you are, but trust me, they know where you're going to be as well.
Well, and I mean, guys, I'm sitting here and I always look at things from a defensive perspective, obviously being a defensive guy, the way y'all kind of look at it from an offensive perspective, being offensive guys. If I'm Tosh Lupoy, if I'm Oregon's defensive staff, and obviously Dan Lanning's a part of this, you know, you attack balanced teams by trying to force them to be one-dimensional. The problem is, I don't know how you do that against a team that, not that just runs RPO, because a bunch of teams run RPO, but does it so efficiently, like Indiana. Like, it's if there is an inch or an ounce of you overplaying to a side, or the numbers exactly don't add up, Mendoza doesn't make mistakes reading it. That's the problem. It's not that it's the RPO, which we know what that is, and again, a lot of people do it. It's that this guy never reads it wrong. So the quote-unquote bad plays are 4-yard gains. Or at worst case, he keeps it, can't find anybody, makes the guy miss, and goes and runs for 6 yards. Obviously the mission's obvious. You try and make them one-dimensional. But damn, Dave, I don't know. Outside, Bama tried to heat him up early, and it worked in the first drive, and it was heavy pressure. And then what did Indiana do? They adjusted, and they were able to pick it up, and then they started just ripping him apart in front of everybody in the village. I'm almost to the point where you've got to do something. You have to have a different identity every drive on defense, and that sucks to say because you want to force the action. I don't know another way to do it when he reads the book perfect. It's like on Billy Madison when they're in the doing the game show at the end and they got to play the instrument. I feel like, you know, it's just – he's like, he's good. He's just good.
Well, in a team sport, I usually don't say one quarterback has to just outperform the other quarterback, but I actually do think Blaine's right in this instance with Dante Moore just because of the way Oregon attacks on offense. Everything starts from that position. Even their run game is opened up through their quick pass game. They do pitch backwards. They pass to open up that run game. I think they're going to have to continue to do that against this Indiana defense. So I think Dante Moore really does have to shine, and let's see if he can do that. On the other side, Fernando Mendoza has done that, continues to make the right play at the right time. Now, Oregon's defense did turn him over in that first game. I think they're going to have to do that again in this game. But Elijah Surratt and Omar Cooper Jr. combined for 15 catches in that game. I mean, if those guys are combining for 15 catches and Indiana ran for over 100 yards, I think they ran for 110, 111, something like that in that first game. I mean, that's a great recipe for them to be able to win a second game against Oregon. And look, and it's tough to beat a really good team twice in the same season. But, you know, I think Indiana is poised to do that, especially if they're able to keep those fundamentals that they've had this entire year.
Yeah, and Blaine, if I'm Indiana defensively, to Cone's point, and Will Stein did this too with Bo Nix. It's one of the reasons. I mean, and Dylan Gabriel. I think it was a little bit different with Dylan Gabriel. I think they attacked down the field a little bit more. I don't know what the reasoning was for that. But the quick screen game that Oregon runs is an extended handoff. It is – their run game is a quick pass, quick game, quick screen game, and a true run game built in together. Indiana is going to understand that quick game is coming, that now is coming, that bubble is coming, this, that, and the other. And to me, if Indiana is able to stop that, that's when you're really going to put Oregon in a box, and they're going to have to take some shots over the top. But that's why getting DeCorian back healthy is a big deal for them. But a guy whose name was brought up earlier in this that is going to be the difference, that is the ultimate mismatch, is Sadiq. And if I'm Oregon, I'm feeding him like a fat kid at a Golden Corral in this one.
Well, you know Indiana knows that as well.
They do, right? But there's ways with that quick game to be able to spread you out.
The tight end's the sexiest position in college football now. I mean, probably in the NFL, maybe just in football in general because it's such a mismatch. But I will say this, as good as your tight end is, this Indiana team, you're going to have to win your one-on-one matchups outside. I think they're that fundamental and on three levels, especially in the linebackers. They're smart, they're fast, and they tackle really well in space. But I think your best chances, and I didn't think Oregon did this enough against Texas Tech, is push the ball down the field and take chances with your one-on-one receivers. And I think they're good enough to handle Indiana's corners to a certain extent. I just don't think Dante Moore is going to be able to sit back in the pocket and just pick apart this Indiana defense without running into some trouble. So if it's me and I'm Will Stein, I maybe work backwards a little bit here. Take away the quick game to a certain extent. I didn't think it worked against Texas Tech. Didn't work against Indiana the first time you played. And take some shots. Take a little bit more shots than you're used to down the field. I think the only thing that'll do will open up this Indiana defense. And then you can take your quick shots. You can reverse play call in a lot of ways, not only when it comes to running the pass, but how you pass the ball. Well, and I think Oregon should push the ball down the field a lot more in this game than they did in the first time.
And if Indiana's playing low and they're jumping that quick game and those quick screens, I would stalk and go them.
That's what I was waiting on in the Texas Tech game, but
they never really did it. And what's crazy is I'm sitting here watching Georgia do it 35 times against Ole Miss. I don't know if you watched how many times Georgia stalked and goed those tight ends off of Zachariah Branch's side. But if I'm Oregon, and here's the thing, it don't even have to be early. It's a leverage and alignment thing. If it looks like Indiana is playing low and they want those low overhangs to be able to make up for maybe a missed tackle on one of these quick screens, I wouldn't even wait to run one normal. I would stalk and go them on the first play to see if I could catch them with their pants down, and then that would allow things to soften up, not only for the quick game and the screen game, but for the run game as well. So it's almost pitching backwards, yeah. I guess. I don't know another way to put
it. You're pitching forwards.
Pitching forwards.
You throw it backwards far enough, sooner or later, it's going to go forward.
Yeah, it's like if you dig a hole right now, eventually I'm going to go to China. I'm going to pop out at the top, right? That's at least the way that Indiana Jones said it was. But, I mean, Cone, is there a missing element here? Is there a special teams play here? Or is there a blocked punt?
No.
Does somebody fake a punt? You know, or is this just an old-fashioned, just show me yours, I'll show you mine?
Well, anytime you get Dan Lanning on a football field going for it on fourth down when he decides to do that, you know. But, again, you're going up with someone who has just as much swag and just as much confidence as you. I can't wait for the coaching matchup in this game. But, yeah, it's nothing cute. This is the Bourbon Bowl. You can't hold anything back. This is the last four football teams left remaining. Who can go punch the other one in the face for four quarters? That's who's going to win the game.
And I think this game could, as physical as Miami is, I actually think this game could be the most physical. Because, Blaine, I know you're seeing it. I know both you guys are seeing it. I know in the comments, you know, I'd like to know what game you think is the most physical that's left. Indiana's hitting in that secondary, bud. Like
no,
Pons
no.
and those guys,
you can
they
tell
are
the Indiana. Like you can tell the Indiana players got it out of the mud
for sure.
Right, got it for out sure. of the mud.
Like no they're never, was never what, never broke again.
Yeah,
it's an NBA young boy thing.
There, I mean, you weren't with Kobe shooting in the gym.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it feels like watching Indiana play. Like they're the number one team in the nation, and they play like underdogs. Right. It's everything. Kudos to Kirk Cignetti. And sometimes when I look at Coach Cignetti, I wonder what's going on in that mind.
He just stands like the Grinch to me.
Right.
Like
what's
the Jim
going
Carrey
on
Grinch. Like on the
in that lines. Mind. Like what have you installed and said to these kids to get them to play like that? Look, you can look at Dan Lanning and see what he's thinking, right? Yeah. It's like when the Vikings would land at a random place and then just take it over.
Hey, I've never seen Vivance in a human form before.
He wants death, right? He wants you to just absolutely rip people apart. Kirk Cignetti, I don't know, though. And that thing, it makes it scarier for me to look at, that I can't see that in his face, but your team's playing like this. So it's like he's not trying to take over a kingdom. He's trying to take over the world. Oh, right? Hey, Precious.
There we go. There we go. Speaking about taking over the world, look at that beautiful little girl right there. Coney, I know you got to run here in a second, buddy, but you know, anything else you want to add here? Maybe Signetti has some chemical compound he puts in the crustables that gets them to focus. I don't know.
Is that what they've been doing this year?
Maybe. Whatever it is, it's working.
No, I can't. Some. Look, usually I would not want a rematch in the semifinal of the college football playoff, but this is one that's really intriguing. I can't wait for this. And again, congrats to both teams and especially Indiana. I mean, how can you not be pulling for what this program has been able to do these past two seasons?
Oh, without a doubt, it's crazy to watch. But we appreciate you guys. Speaking about crazy to watch, we appreciate you guys watching us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Keep sharing the show. Go check out also our Miami and Ole Miss preview and our reactions to the games before this. There's a lot going on in the transfer portal, so make sure you stay locked and loaded with Cranny Company. And like the chances, I mean, not being excited about the cookout later, boys.
Yeah.
Cookout at the Cones. We're going. Gone. Miami.